Today on Real Life Radio.
Someday, we are going to have all of God's understanding necessary and wisdom necessary for us to do this. How's it going to happen? It tells me the resurrection is going to be far more awesome than I've ever thought.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
There are a lot of voices out there shouting this and that, spreading lies, personal agendas, and deceitful half-truths. But when we fill our minds and hearts with the Word of God and have a quiet time with the Lord, those voices are silenced. You see, the Lord speaks with a still, small voice, but His words are powerful and true. So if you haven't started a devotional time or just need some direction, we'd like to help. Pastor Jack has weekly devotions on his website that includes a Bible verse and a conversation with him that relates to that verse. Simply go to jackhibbs.com and click on the Devotions tab. There are also previous devotions that you can enjoy every day of the week. You can even email us if you've been blessed and want to share your experience. Again, it's on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called 1 Corinthians with the message titled Out of Heaven. 1 Corinthians, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and it's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, here in chapter 6, we are reminded that we need some wisdom in how to conduct ourselves as followers of Christ. What we do as Christians is to be led and guided from heaven. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that we need to be mindful that as Christians, we have a new life and we have a new purpose, and we are to never treat a fellow Christian unjustly. We can be right in our cause, but at the same time be wrong in our actions. Now with his message called Out of Heaven, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Heavily socialistic state, Oregon. Extremely liberal, and they have concluded that you do not know how to pump your own gasoline in Oregon. You can't do it. It's against the law. You cannot get out of your car and put gas in your car because you do not have the license to handle dangerous material. You're too dumb to be able to do that. And so he pulls up, beep, beep, honks the horn. The guy comes out, and he said this guy came out. He was tattooed from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot, and he had everything stapled. It's amazing he could even talk. And John said the guy came up to his car, and he said, can I help you? And John says, yeah, I need to fill up, you know, premium or whatever. And so then John calls the guy back. He goes, hey, come here. The guy comes up, and he goes, yeah. And he said, listen to this. Corson said, I need you to pray for me right now. I'm going to the hospital. A friend of mine is dying. I want to make sure that he understands that Jesus died on the cross for his sins. That there's no sin that he could have ever committed that could keep him from the kingdom of God except rejection of the Son of God, so that he would accept Jesus, repent of his sins, accept Christ, that he would come to know the love and the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus, have his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, be saved forever, and that if he dies today, he will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Will you pray for me that I will be able to tell that to him? How cool is that? You say, I can't witness. Hey, witness like that. And Corson stood there, I went, God, what he said, do it. And John says, in Jesus' name. All right, man, thanks a lot. He drives, goes to the hospital. Whatever happened, he never told us. But 3 weeks later, sitting in the front row of church up in Oregon, is the guy. Wait. Is the guy. Corson gives the message. The first guy up to accept Christ is that guy. How cool is that? I wish I would have thought of that. To witness to somebody like that. Amazing. Think of that. We can all do that. Why? We need to act like our Father. that's something our Father, that's something exactly what Jesus would have done. You say, I don't know if he would have done that. Oh yeah, he got the 12 guys together. There's like 50,000 people sitting around, 5,000, 10 wives, kids, maybe 15,000 people sitting around. And what did Jesus say to them? You feed them. Remember? He treated them like they could do something about it. Jesus told them, you guys go out there and raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Go, get out of the house. Think of that. We need to be acting more like our Father when it comes to our family relationship here and now. Remarkable. Wonderful. Point number two is this, verses 3-5. Out of heaven comes our future. Out of heaven comes our future, lest we forget. And our future is awesome, church. I mean, I tried to pick a different word because you get tired of hearing that word from my mouth. And I did all kinds of word searches, and the best word is awesome. Our future is flat out awesome. If you don't have a future with Jesus today, then you need to make the decision like that gas station technician, whatever you want to call the guy. The gasoline engineer at the gas station made a decision. You need to do that. You need to make that decision. Look at verse 3. Our future is awesome. Do you not know that you'll be judging angels? Okay, wait, Jack, you just said the world a moment ago. Uh-huh. Now it's angels. We're going to judge angels. That is amazing. Don't you know? Stop acting like you don't know this, that we shall judge angels. How much more things that pertain to this life? Someday, we are going to have all of God's understanding necessary and wisdom necessary for us to do this. How's it going to happen? It tells me the resurrection is going to be far more awesome than I've ever thought. Wow. The Bible says we are going to know then. We are going to know even as we are known, as he knows us. Can you imagine? Jack, yes? Gabriel's going to come up now. So what am I supposed to do? Judge him. No, actually, there's going to be an event. We're all going to be involved. That somehow in eternity, angels are going to appear in front of us. And we will have the wisdom of God, and somehow amazing. Because, you know, the Bible says God has created angels to be the ministers to us who are the heirs of salvation. So somehow we're going to know stuff that we don't know now. Imagine. Say, excuse me, Mr. Angel. Where were you that day I got rear-ended by that person? No, I'm sure it's going to be deeper than all that, but... Our future's awesome. He says, how much more? Can't you discern and judge regarding things that pertain to this life? Your in-house church disputes? Why do you let the world know about them? Isn't that sad? Christian's upset with this Christian, and then it makes it in the news. We're supposed to deal with it. And he says, you shouldn't go before judges. What do they know? No, first of all, let me say this. We have some awesome, born-again, serious judges that attend this church. Some of them are real biggies. And they love Jesus. And they've been here for years. I'm not talking about those kinds of judges. What a judge. I know judges that attend this church, they pray for God's wisdom and discernment every day before they change a person's life. When to exercise grace, when to exercise mercy, when to can you imagine? That's the way a judge is supposed to be, mind you. You say, yeah, you say it, Jack. No, wait a minute. That's supposed to be how every one of us are supposed to be. Earthly judges have no idea when we go to a court. In fact, we go into a court and we say, I'm suing this guy because he looked at me wrong, and God told me to say this, and I went over there and I prayed, and the Lord spoke to me and said, do you understand that? If you say that in a secular court, the judge is ringing the button. Get the guys with the white jackets in here now. But when you talk to the body of Christ, do we not know what you mean? The world doesn't know how to deal in spiritual matters. But let me say this. Let me be careful. Every courtroom, every law that doesn't violate the Bible, of course, is ordained by God. Paul says you shouldn't sue one another when you upset one another, when you are personally attacking one another. You don't sue one another. But does not the Bible warn us that the courts and the power systems that be have been ordained by God, Romans 13 says? Think of that. Watch this. This gets kind of fun, makes you think. In fact, this is kind of what we do in Israel on our trips to have some fun from one point to the other. This is like the real deal, but I'll use this. Mr. Bob is a Christian, okay? And Mr. Mike is not. Mr. Bob and Mr. Mike go out into the world and they both rob a bank. Mr. Bob says, God, please forgive me. He says he's sorry. Does God forgive him? The answer is yes. But Mr. Mike never asked God to forgive him. Lo and behold, they left fingerprints at the scene and both of them are arrested. Both of them are tried and convicted. Both of them are sentenced to hang by the neck until dead. Okay? Is there any problem with this story? No problem at all. But Jack, you just said that the Christian man dies too. Yeah, he dies. Why? He robbed the bank. But God forgave him. Praise the Lord. The courts don't forgive. The courts are God's instruments to execute righteousness and justice. You see the difference? There is this court here. Well, Pastor, you just hurt my feelings. Well, I'm sorry. Let's go out to coffee and we'll talk it over and we'll fix it. That's this court. You go outside these walls and you commit a crime. Guess what the Bible says about a Christian who commits a crime? He goes to jail. A Christian judge sitting in on a criminal who happens to be a Christian, and the judge says, you get 45 years for that crime. That judge is God's instrument to implement righteousness in the land. You should have no problem with that. If you think the Christian should get off because he's a Christian, then you have a bad God. You have a weird gospel, man. This godless way of thinking in our culture has become a bizarre, almost Christian's 11th commandment that we don't deal with things like this. God is holy and just, and the law is established by God, and righteous and true are his judgments. It's amazing. You see, well, Pastor, what about a guy who says he's a Christian, comes to my house and does work and totally rips me off? This is what I would do. I'd call him up and say, are you a Christian? Yep. All right, I'll meet you at Starbucks. All right, here's the deal. How come you didn't do the job? Blah, blah, blah. Lay out your case. Yeah, I don't want to hear this. Okay, what church do you go to? I want your pastor and us to meet at Starbucks here next week. I'm not going to tell you what church I go to. Guess what? Warning. Probably not a Christian. If he was, he would be fearful of the Holy Spirit's judgment in his life. He would be so convicted he'd start throwing up in his latte. The Spirit of God will not let a Christian get away with that.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
I'm a Christian and I've done this a bunch of times and it's just the way that it is. Oh, so you are a serial con artist. Christian. Right? I'm going somewhere with this. You're not going to like it. But it's the reality. It's exactly what Paul's talking about. If a Christian in fellowship either knowingly or unknowingly rips you off and you go to him alone privately, he says, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Man, I messed up. I'll fix it. You've won your brother. You've suppressed the division. It's all great. But if that guy goes, hey, what? Who needs you? That's what the courts are for. Wow, how could you say that? A Christian shouldn't sue a Christian. How do you know he's a Christian? His card has a cross on it. Think for a moment. It's going to get real quiet in here in a minute. Watch. You're going to buy a copier machine. Children's ministry needs a new copier machine. The kind that does a bazillion copies a month. Do you know how much those machines can cost? It's scary. You can buy a car. You can buy two cars. Oh, we're a Christian copier machine company, and we want to sell you copier machines. Well, all right. Keep the money in the family of God. That's cool. And then they rip you off. And then you make some phone calls and find out, have you ever done business with that company? Yeah, babe, they ripped us off. Wow. Stop right here. Watch. The salesman said he was a Christian. And what happens is, you find out, when you call that church and that church and then that company down the road, oh yeah, they ripped us off. Oh, everybody, listen. Here's the reality of the church. It's simpler for you. You tithe faithfully, $10 goes in the offering, your love to God, as he's commanded, you're supporting the work. Part of that $10 goes to getting a copier machine that turns out to be an absolute ripoff. As a pastor, as a staff, we're supposed to protect your offering to God. You get 100% credit, you do, because your heart was right with God. And we're supposed to be stewards and custodians over what you give to God. So, come to find out it's a company that just delights in seeing Christians and churches as suckers, and it's an easy ripoff. That's committing false judgment at the very least. Misrepresentation at the very least. Understand that. But when someone now commits crimes against you or the church, that is different. It goes into the realm of the powers that God has established. Did somebody rip you off in the name of Christ and it's what they do? Here's my question. How do you know you're dealing with a Christian? Well, it said it was a Christian company. How do you know it's a Christian company? When you have been completely ripped off, and then you know that others have been ripped off by this same entity. What evidence, come on, you guys are quiet. What evidence do you have that they're Christian? Anybody? Everything I just heard is saying that they're not a Christian. And you're correct. Because what you say about yourself doesn't matter. It's what you do. That's who you are. And the Bible says, watch out in the last days. You're going to have them sitting with you. Isn't that wild? They're going to be in your own midst, it says. So what happens if somebody robs a bank and they're a Christian? Well, they're going to go to jail. This is the way it is. Listen. Paul says that stuff's for the outside courts, man. We didn't have to go there. If you're at odds with your brother or your sister in Christ, fix it among one another. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus said, this is actually a pretty awesome verse in what I just talked about. This will kind of answer the whole thing here. Matthew 5:22, listen to this. Let's call this category one. Matthew 5:22, category one. In-house, church stuff. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, that word means empty-headed fool, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, he's talking to the believer, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Look at, watch category two. This is the world now. You commit a crime in the world? Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him. That is the way of reconciliation or the way to court. Lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer throw you in prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of prison till you have paid the very last penny. That's the word of God. It's amazing. That's powerful stuff. Out of heaven comes our future. Our future is secure. Make note of that. Our future is secure, verse 4. Our future is secure when he says, if then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, Why do you appoint those who are least esteemed? Why do you go and hire an unbelieving judge to settle your situation when you're suing a Christian? You're not to do it. Thirdly, verses 5 and 6, our future is relational. It's relational. I say this, verse 5, to your shame. Is it so, or is it true, we would say, that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren, his brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before the unbelievers. This is as far as we're going to be able to go today, and we'll just pick it up next time together. But the stuff that was going on in Corinth was that Christians were attacking one another and they're using a worldly system. As Christians, number one thing, number one call, we should love one another. If you pursue that, you won't have to worry about anything else. And Christians ought not to sue Christians regarding these personal areas of conduct. And if a Christian violates another Christian and rips that Christian off, I have grave doubts that that man be a Christian at all, but rather a hireling or a wolf in sheep's clothing. No wonder why Paul said, "How dare you?" Strong words, huh? The world should be looking at us and saying, "My, my, how they get along." Pretty amazing, huh? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I just love the practicality of the scriptures, for one thing. Father, we pray right now that if there's somebody here right now who knowingly or unknowingly has already heard the gospel, that Jesus died for you, my friend, on the cross, me too. He died for me. But I'm forgiven today, not because I'm sinless or not because I didn't do something. I did. But he's forgiven me because I've come to him and he's removed that life from me. I don't want it. I don't want to go there. I want nothing to do with it. And maybe today, whatever it is in your life, you're saying, I want Jesus to forgive me. Come now to the throne of God and say to him right where you're at, "Dear Lord, I believe you sent Jesus to die for my sins. My sacrifice I receive. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of those things. Wash away my sin. Give me a brand new life and let me go forth in your power." My friend, if you've prayed that today, the Lord has heard your prayer. Father, bless your church. Now, as we leave this place, that we go and do, and that would be loving, forgiving, and also, Lord God, when righteousness and justice is to be displayed and gloriously portrayed wholly before this world, that we would stand in defense of all that is right and leave it to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand, church, as we close.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Out of Heaven. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So today you heard an altar call at the end of the message, and I'd like to let you know that just because it was on the radio, it doesn't make it any less real. If you felt God move in your life today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd love to know about it, and we'd like to help you out with some resources. Visit jackhibbs.com, and there's a tab there that says Know God, and there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means, and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. Did you know that you can defeat fear with faith? If you want your life to be ignited every day with effortless faith, peace, purpose, and direction, you're going to love our current featured resource. It's called Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire. Now, Barry's infectious love for Christ shines through every page of this book. You're going to really like it. With chapters like Happiness Versus Joy and The End of Worry, you're sure to realize that the further we stray from the Lord, the greater the turmoil, and the closer we get to Him, well, the greater the peace, the love, and joy that we have in our hearts. God has a perfect plan just for your life, and He promises to reveal it to you when you decide enough is enough and you live for His purpose rather than your own. Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, and get your copy of Ignite Your Life today. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.